KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a cloudy to partly cloudy sky. It's 29 degrees. We do look for areas of low clouds and fog this morning. Partly cloudy the rest of the day, a high of 47. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by The TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. There is still a dense advisory in effect until 9 a.m. for Cass, Adair, Adams, Dallas, Guthrie, Madison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Pottawatomie, Ringgold, Taylor, and Union counties. Be prepared for visibilities of 1/2 to 1/4 mile or less at times, and watch out for slick spots on the roadways, bridges, and sidewalks. In the news of this morning, officials of the Creston Police Department report 31-year-old Sean Stauffer of Creston was arrested Friday night on a Union County warrant for probation violation on an original charge of sex offender registry violation, second or subsequent offense. Stauffer was additionally charged with possession of a controlled substance, second offense. He was being held in the Union County Jail on a $7,000 bond. Saturday morning, 58-year-old Dennis Brown of Creston was arrested on an Adams County warrant. He was transferred to the custody of Adams County. Early Friday morning, 26-year-old Dale Anson II of Creston was arrested for driving while revoked. He was later released on a $1,000 bond. And Friday afternoon, 32-year-old Christy Rodert of Creston was arrested on a charge of assault causing bodily injury. Rodert was later released on a $1,000 bond. Creston police said also that a man residing in the 200 block of West Montgomery Street reported that sometime between 12:30 a.m. and 2 a.m. on Sunday, the front door of the Iowana in Creston was shot with a BB gun, causing the glass to shatter. The damage was estimated at $400. And a resident of the 300 block of Spruce reported that sometime between 11:30 p.m. December 14th and 4:30 a.m. December 15th, someone stole a 12-gauge Maverick shotgun and 25 to 30 rounds of deer slugs from his vehicle while it was parked in near his residence. The loss was estimated at $215. A few area school district boards of education have regular monthly meetings set to take place this evening. The Griswold School Board meeting begins at 5:30 p.m. in the central office of the Middle School High School building, and that meeting starts with a public hearing with regard to a school addition and renovation. Present to answer any questions will be representatives with KPE Architects and or Estes Construction. The Griswold School Board is slated to receive an update from those firms later in the meeting as well, and vote on approving the second reading of 507 series board policies. Afterward, they will receive a presentation and possibly approve the purchase of a school sign and separately a van. Other action includes the approval of the plans, forms of contract, and cost estimates for the building project, approval of a car purchase, and the early graduation list, among other things. The CAM school board meeting gets underway at 6:30 in the High School Media Center in Anita. Discussion and or action items on their agenda include open enrollment applications, resignations and contracts, discussion about the Iowa report card, early retirement incentive policy, early graduation requests, capital projects, bids for school vehicles, and other matters. Audubon School Board meeting is at 7 p.m. in their boardroom of the high school, and their agenda includes a second reading of policies pertaining to foreign students and board code of ethics, approval of the midterm graduate and other administrative matters, and the Audubon School Board will also discuss the Iowa School Report Card, weight room improvements, and they'll act on a policy review committee recommendation. And finally, the Elkhorn-Kimbleton School Board will meet at 7 p.m. Their meeting in a conference room at the Elkhorn Building includes discussion with regard to the FFA National Conference and a presentation from the marketing class. New business will cover, among other matters, approval of the sale of a bus, a sick leave request, the approval of hires, transfers, and resignations. ISU Extension in Cass County says they're excited to partner with Anishina Valley Family YMCA to offer On Their Own and OK. It's a course to help a youth gain the skills and confidence to stay at home alone. That program will be held on December 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Anishina Valley Family YMCA in Atlantic. It's open to anyone interested, any interested youth who are currently in the 4th through 8th grade. Topics to be covered throughout the day on the 28th will include handling emergencies and basic first aid, safety and privacy with regard to electronics and other appliances, daily routines and responsibilities, and dealing with sibling friends, that is, when home alone. In addition, youth will learn the basics of healthy meals and snacks, including preparing their own meal and snack during the class. The participants will also get a workbook to help start a conversation about family rules, activities, and more when they are home alone. There is no charge to attend the program. All materials are provided, but pre-registration is required, and the class is limited to 25 youth. To register, call the Cass County Extension Office at 243-1132 or you can email xcas@iastate.edu. A registration form with more course details can be picked up at the Cass County Extension Office or the Atlantic YMCA, and it's also available on the Cass County Extension website at www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass. There is a link to that same page under our story that we've just brought you here on the news page at KJAN.com. Elsewhere in state news, a massive pork processing plant that's under construction in north central Iowa is approaching an important milestone as winter arrives next Thursday. Ron Prestige, a CEO of North Carolina-based Prestige Farms, says the roof is nearly complete on the sprawling structure near Eagle Grove in southern Wright County.
When we got started in construction, which was essentially early April of this year, the goal was to try to get to the point in construction where we had the roof on and we were somewhat winterproof to be able to continue construction once it did start snowing.
The roof should be finished in a matter of days on the $240 million facility. Almost a year of work remains before the plant is ready to open, but that should be able to continue uninterrupted once the roof is complete. One vital component to the facility's success is water.
We've got one well down. We'll do the second well next spring. The well is 1,980 feet deep, and it will produce something almost insane, like 2,000 gallons of water a minute.
Prestige chose to locate the pork plant near Eagle Grove after Mason City officials rejected plans for the plant in their city. The facility will be one of the larger employers in the area, and about 1,000 people will work at the plant itself, not counting the host of supporting roles like truck drivers.
We have a lot of people, even though we haven't really started advertising for positions. We're getting frequent calls from people in north central Iowa that are interested in jobs and interested in knowing what kind of jobs are going to be available.
The completion of the Prestige Farms pork processing plant is set for next fall. The company estimates about 11 months from now, in fact. Well, Iowa's egg farmers and a regional grocery chain have partnered for a promotion to donate eggs to the Food Bank of Iowa this holiday season. The Iowa Egg Council and Fairway Stores say they will give a dozen eggs to the food bank for every two dozen bought by each customer at all Fairway stores in Iowa. The campaign begins today and runs through December 23rd. The promotion will donate up to 21,600 eggs to the food bank. The council says that campaign aims to give back to individuals who are food insecure in the communities Iowa egg farmers live and serve. The food bank president and CEO Michelle Book says eggs are a nutritious source of protein and a great way to help sustain people the food bank serves. Iowa's only independent lawmaker plans to run for re-election in a rural conservative part of the state as a no-party candidate next year. And if David Johnson wins, he'd be the first state senator unaffiliated with the two major political parties to do so in more than 90 years. Johnson rejected the Republican Party midway through his fourth term in the Senate last year after Donald Trump made comments perceived as racist regarding a federal judge of Mexican heritage. Johnson is hoping that principled Trump's party and his deep roots in the Northwest Iowa and long legislative history will win him enough voters next year to fend off a Republican challenger. Johnson served the Iowa House from 1999 to 2002. He's been in the Senate since 2003. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.